In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Has anyone ever asked you a question that there just wasn't any way to answer it without getting yourself into trouble? That's what we called a loaded question. A loaded question is one that is worded so that a person cannot answer it without appearing to be guilty. Here is an example. Have you quit cheating on your income taxes? If you answer yes, you are admitting that you used to cheat on your taxes. If you answer no, you are admitting that you still cheat on your income taxes. Sometimes a loaded question is intended to trick a person into saying something that will get him into trouble. Our gospel reading from Matthew is a good example. You see, Jesus was becoming too popular among the Israelites, and that was very upsetting to the Pharisees, the religious elite of the day. They thought Jesus was a threat to their authority. So they tried everything they could think of to make Jesus look bad, and yet Jesus had more and more followers every day. So they came up with a plot to trick Jesus into saying something that would discredit Jesus among his followers. You see, the people in Jesus' day were required to pay taxes to the Roman government. That was not popular with them. In fact, they hated paying taxes to the emperor just as much as some of us hate paying income taxes to Uncle Sam. So they plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not? But Jesus, aware of their matter, said, why are you putting me into the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax. And they brought to him a denarius, that's the standard Roman silver coin. Then Jesus said to them, whose head is this, and whose title? They answered, the emperor's. So Jesus said to them, give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. My friends, I find that message to be very appropriate during this season of stewardship, when the church is asking you and me to support its mission and ministry. By now, you probably have received a letter from our senior warden, Eric Silvers, with a pledge card. I strongly urge you to prayerfully consider making a financial pledge for next year. By doing so, you will be giving to God the things that are God's. My friends, when you make a pledge to support St. Thomas, you are essentially giving back to God what really belongs to God. Everything we have comes from God. Our giving to God is always, in a sense, giving back. When we give back, when we give money to the church, we are giving back a portion of what God has given to us. When we give ourselves to God's service, we are giving back a portion of the life He has given to us. You see, all of that should not be difficult when we consider just how much God has given us, most of all in Jesus Christ. We realize that we should give back to God not just a portion, but all that we are. Indeed, we belong to God, our bodies and minds, our hearts and spirits. We are created by God in His image, then we belong to God. That means we must give ourselves to Him completely. And how do we do that? We do that simply by putting God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. That's what Jesus told his disciples so many years ago in the Gospel of Matthew. My friends, Jesus is also calling on us to return to God all that we are and a portion of the treasures He has entrusted to us. We can give the government what it is owed in taxes, but that is the extent of what we owe it. On the other hand, there is no limit on what is due to God, since everyone and everything belongs to God. The problem is that some of us don't live as if this is true. We make giving to the government and to everyone else a priority, and God gets the leftovers. Our first loyalty must be to God. So let me ask you, how much of your resources, your time, and your talent do you give to God and the church? How does the way you use your resources reflect the truth that all of us have God's image stamped on our foreheads? And when we look at how we use our resources, what do we see? Are we using them to the glory of God and the mission and ministry of St. Thomas? Jesus not only models the life of giving everything to God, but He also makes it possible for us to do the same. Because He trusted in God's love and care, Jesus willingly gave up all that He had and all that He was. That Jesus, we too can trust in God's love and care and freely give to God ourselves, our time, and our possessions for use in the world that God loves and cares so much for. Putting God first shows that you trust God to provide for your needs. My friends, I encourage you to try it today. Believe me, it will make all the difference in your attitude toward money and giving to the church. Here's the bottom line. Whether it's paying taxes to Uncle Sam or giving to God, the things that are God's, the secret is to put God first, always. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.